Hi, this is Pastor Jack of Real Radio, and the times that we're living in right now are truly amazing times, and this upcoming election will be perhaps one of the most important in our lifetime. And so because of that, I want to give you the information and the tools that you'll need to vote your biblical worldview. That's right, Christian. We should be voting our biblical worldview, not our party, not our persuasions are not in any other form but our biblical worldview as a believer. And so I want to share with you a fantastic interview that took place with Dr. Wayne Grudem, a world-renowned theologian and best-selling author of Politics According to the Bible, a great book, and also Dinesh D'Souza, creator of the blockbuster documentary 2016, Obama's America. We've had the chance to interview both these men of God, and I think you'll find it most enlightening. You can go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. That's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. God bless you.
Today on Real Radio.
Paul is going to come after them in a little while about their sins. You guys, they were huge. This church was allowing stuff to go on that would shock, perhaps today, the most carnal church.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And our focus is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, which is still part of Paul's opening, by the way. Now, the church at Corinth had some severe problems in certain continuing sins, and yet Paul still gives God thanks for those believers. In other words, he didn't just write them off. He didn't just give up on them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his look at some of Paul's opening remarks in this first letter to the Corinthians. It's a lesson called Our Royal Route to Heaven.
After studying these few verses from verses 4 to 9, there's so much here that I will get through what I need to get through, but just touching the surface, it's pretty pathetic or awesome. Pathetic in the sense that we will run out of time, there's no doubt about it, but awesome in the sense that, you guys, this is just too deep a stuff. It's so deep that, in my opinion, I have had to ask the Lord to forgive me for living a subterranean Christian life after reading this portion of Scripture. You say, Jack, what are you, crazy? It's Paul's letter to the Corinthians. They were completely messed up. They're a bunch of maniac, backslidden, carnal Christians. Yeah, I know. What I'm convicted about is two things. Number one, how Paul saw them, how Paul viewed them as a church, as a people. And number two, their position of who they were in Jesus Christ is something that I hope by the end of the message today, you're going to scratch your head and say, man, what's my deal? Because that's where the study has brought me to, is, man, Lord, what is my deal? With all that you've done for me, for us, how can we not serve you? How can we not get excited about who we are in Jesus? I'm asking this morning that your life and mine will be dramatically changed. That something will happen in that this will never again, or this day certainly would not be, just another visit to a church on a Sunday. Just another day to bring my Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation, that's the parousia, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're waiting. They were waiting for that, verse 7 tells us. Who also will confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wow, what an awesome declaration. Very quickly, number one, is this, that God has a son. His name's Jesus, says the Bible. The Son of God. We are looking at a message entitled, Our Royal Route to Heaven. This is exactly what Paul's talking about. Watch this, church. You're the church at Corinth. You guys are backslidden, carnal, and messed up. What does Paul do? He announces to them that is before them is a route, a path to take. It's royal in the sense that it is of God, is it of Christ? And it's a path, it's a route that the true church is on. You this morning, you're on this path. Same path that the Corinthians were on 2,000 years ago. And we need to understand this because, watch this. Paul is going to come after them in a little while about their sins. You guys, they were huge. This church was allowing stuff to go on that would shock, perhaps today, the most carnal church. They had sexual issues going on in the church, and they were not rebuking it. They were celebrating it. They had cliques and divisions. There was one side of the church wouldn't speak to this group. This group wouldn't speak to that group. This group, they had the little banners, we're of Paul, we're of Paul. They had cliques, and the other group had, we're of Peter, we're of Peter. I mean, I'm serious. They actually got into groups about those names. And Paul's going to get them, but not yet. Oh, he's not buttering them up for the kill. He's fattening them up for the spank. He's going to let them have it. Why do you say that, Jack? What's the deal? Because don't think for a moment with what we're about to read and study that God is condoning that kind of carnal action. No, he's reminding them where they are as Christians. As a Christian, listen, you cannot come into a church or you cannot show up somewhere at Easter or Christmas and just say you're a Christian because it's in the season. It's a seasonal thing to do. You are either a real believer or you're not. You're either in or you're out. There's no gray zone with God on this matter. You're either a child of his or you're not. He's very, very direct about that. By the way, if you're here this morning and you're listening and you're saying, well, you know, I want to become a child of his. Well, then make that decision. If this morning you're saying, I don't want to be a child of his, well, that's your choice. We're not going to behead you. We're not going to cut off your hand. We're not going to slap you in the face. We're not going to throw you out. And even if you came to us in need, we're not going to turn you away. But it's your choice to follow Christ or not. And so this route that he's called us to is very, very lofty. It's very amazing. First verse is not even in this portion of Scripture that I want you to write down. So church, do write this down in your note-taking. Number one, I want you to set the stage with this concept. What in the world is going on in the mind of Paul? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above. By the way, that's in the past tense. Christians, listen. Look at that verse on the screen. If then you were raised, it means you as a believer have already been raised into a new life in Christ. Seek those things which are above. What is that? The things that concern heaven is what's supposed to concern the believer. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, isn't that interesting? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's exactly Colossians' response to what Paul said to the church at Corinth later on in 2 Corinthians. He said, those of you who are Christians, you're a brand new creation. You've started life all over. Nobody knows one another any longer, but only in Jesus. Isn't that great? Think about that. So having said that, as we go through this study, jot it down. Point number one is this. Our royal route to heaven is found in this. The Christian's roadmap to eternity begins with allowance. Mark it down. Number one, allowance in this, that we have been graced by God. That's what verse one is about. I thank my God always concerning you. Oh, you ought to circle these two words. Number one, thank. Number two word to circle is always. Thank. This is a profuse, watch this. This is a profuse, continuous gushing of Paul to God in thankfulness for the Corinthian believer. You guys, any other pastor would want to get out of that church and not pastor it. These pastors of a church that's Corinthian style would want to leave. They're too hard to handle. Not Paul. What an example. He says, I thank you, God, for the Corinthian believer. You say, Jack, why are you saying this? If they're so messed up and backslidden and carnal, why are you saying this? Because listen, this is what's important. God doesn't throw people away. Are you struggling as a believer? Do you know what the Word of God says, but you're not doing what it says? Aren't you miserable? Aren't you miserable? I just love it. Why? Because it's obvious that God loves you and you have a love for Him, but you're not being obedient to Him, so you're miserable. You're not following Him, and so you're in disobedience to Him. You're going to heaven. You're going to heaven, but you're not walking with Him, and so life is hard, is it not? It's tough with Him in that area. Why? He doesn't allow His kids to get away with stuff like that. And so when we talk about having been graced by God, verse 4, note this, God's grace has brought us together. Right now, together, the body of Christ, together. God's grace does that. When we talk about being graced by God and His grace bringing us together, there's something that I want to say right now that's very important, because if you're from a cult, and there's always somebody here visiting from a cult. There always is. I meet them. I talk with them. They write me a note. It's always the case. Listen. There's a certain cult. There's a certain group that will say, you guys are gracers. And look, your point even proves it. Allowance. We have been graced by God. You're a gracer. Have you ever heard that term before, people? You're a gracer. It means that the Christian uses the grace of God to justify his sinful actions. In fact, Paul talked about it. Paul said, Where sin is at, grace does much more abound. But because of the grace of God, shall I go out and sin? No. The true believer will not allow himself to pollute the grace of God, even though it's abundant. Come on, you know what I mean. Those of you who are now real true Christians, do you remember back before you were either A, just religious, or you had no relationship with God? You remember when you and I used to pick up the phone and make appointments to sin? We'd call one another. I mean, not you. I didn't know you. You didn't know me. I'm talking hypothetically here, way back before BC days, before Christ days. We would call people and say, hey, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, you want to sin? You know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, as a Christian, you can't even think that way. And if the thought enters your mind, you never place the call. You're new. The grace of God, listen, my friend who's in a cult saying that you Christians, you just sin up a storm and expecting Jesus to forgive you. No, the true Christian does not go sin up a storm. The Christian that's real grieves over his or her sin, hates it, doesn't want to get near it. In fact, I can tell you with all humility, based upon the power of God, I sin less now than I did 10 years ago. But am I sinless? No. I won't be sinless to the day I drop dead or the rapture comes. But we hate our sin as believers. So what's with the grace of God? It's this. It's the grace of God applied to our lives so that sin no longer has dominion or power over us anymore. It sets us free, not to do what we want, but the grace of God sets us free to do what He wants. We're setting our mind on things that are above. And that's what brings us together as a true house of worship. Secondly, God's grace was sovereignly given to them, and it is today, sovereignly given. God gives His grace. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't beg for it. He gives it. And here's the reason for Paul's thankfulness. It says, for or because the grace of God, which was given to you. Pause right there. This is amazing. Paul is telling the church at Corinth, yeah, you're all totally messed up. But before I get into this correction of your life, I want you to understand something. I thank God all the time for you, because you know what? This is the reason why I thank God, is because God's grace has been given to you. You guys, we cannot listen. As a pastor, or if you have a Christian who loves you, friend, if you're doing stuff you're not supposed to do, I or your friend is supposed to privately tell you, you're not supposed to be doing that. Look right here. Chapter 3, verse 6 says, don't do that. They're not judging you. I'm not judging you. I cannot judge you. Your friend can't judge you. No one's got that authority. It's the Bible. And so if you have a friend who's doing stuff they ought not to be doing, if you love them, you'll tell them, you're going down a rabbit trail, wrong road, turn around. You're going to get hurt. What you never want to be is called by God to be a sin sniffer and a fault finder in the body of Christ. No one does that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But as believers, Paul is speaking to a church that's messed up, and he's saying, wow, I thank God for you. God's grace has been poured out into your life. Really? You kind of almost see them start to stand up a little straighter. They might be saying, me? You're talking about me? What an amazing word. God's grace sovereignly given. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. Begins by saying, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he has loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. That is God's unearnable favor. God's wink at your life, at your person. God looks at you and says, I love you. I'm gracing your life. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that's works of righteousness, lest anyone should boast. The evidence of God's grace at work in their lives was there, even though they were so messed up. Church, jot this down. Grace, God's grace, that is how the work of the cross is applied to my life. How does the fact, listen, are you guys listening? How does what Jesus did at the cross benefit me? Only one way. By God's grace, he puts to me, attributes to me, you, the believer, the work of the cross at Calvary. What Jesus did for us in paying our sin debt, that transaction mathematically or economically, theologically, is transferred to our benefit. By God's grace, the work on the cross by Jesus Christ is exactly what is applied to my life. You think of that for a moment. That's deep. You didn't sound deep. It's deep. If that be true, and it is, I'm liberated. When temptation comes, it can only be a temptation. Please hear me on this. I know I'm yelling. I'm so excited. Amen. A temptation can only tempt you. Okay. I have some friends, they're here right now, I can see them, I won't look in your direction. We've talked before, I hate snakes. They think snakes are pretty. I don't know about that, I hate them. But it's harmless, kill it. Sorry. If God wanted me to love it, he'd put legs on it. I don't like snakes. Oh, but they're so shiny and pretty. When the sun hits them, there's a little bit of a, they kind of look golden. I don't care. What I'm talking about is this. I don't need to sit around and figure out, well, is it a harmless snake or is it a full-blown viper that's going to rip my face off? I don't even want to go there. Think of temptation like that. It comes along. Is it a nice temptation? Or is it going to rip my face off? Not good. Consider it a snake. Well, maybe it's a worm. No, it could be a snake. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Listen, here's my point. The grace of God doesn't give you license to sin. The grace of God gives you the power to resist. You run to Papa every time a temptation comes. Daddy, I'm being tempted. And you run right into the arms of your father. You cry out in the name of Jesus, being tempted here. Aisle 2, row 9, being tempted. Call out to him. The power of God's grace sovereignly deposited in your life will give you power. And because of that, don't ever think God's grace to be cheap. How can we think of God's grace to be cheap and cheaply applied when it costs God the life of his own son? In 2 Peter 3, 9, somebody might think, well, I've been getting away with my little excursion as a Christian without God doing anything to me. Wow, you're flirting with disaster there, dude. Listen, in 2 Peter 3, 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to turn. Equally true is this. Genesis 6:3 says, "And the Lord spoke and said, My Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "shall not strive with man forever." You know that verse right before the flood came. Did you know that God's grace will someday expire in your life if you're not a Christian? This is a terrifying thing. I honestly could spend, you know I could, the next 30 minutes on this point alone. That there will come a day when God's grace will expire in the life of a non-believer. You say, "I've never heard that before." Yes, you have. You just never put the pieces together. If you die without Jesus, you're gone. The Bible says that. Now's the time to decide. Today's the day. And he wants you with him. The Bible says that Noah preached the gospel for 120 years, and then the door of that ark was shut. And I think you already know from previous studies about who shut the door. It wasn't Mr. or Mrs. Noah who shut the door. God shut the door. And he says, "My Spirit will not always put up with man and his antics forever. There'll come a day." But how beautiful it is to this moment that for 2,000 years, God has been waiting for Corinthian-type Christians to come home. And today, maybe that's you, and you want to come home to Jesus and his love for you and his forgiveness. But listen, like now in this room, like everywhere in this world, the clock is running. Also this, God's grace will never fail the child of God. Isn't that beautiful? Think about it. God's grace will never fail us as Christians. He will never fail us. And here's why. Look at the words right there in verse 1, "by Christ Jesus." Can you circle your Bible right there, the word "by"? By Christ Jesus. You need to mark that. You guys, about five houses up from my house is a guy. He's a contractor guy. Very manly guy. He's got an awesome shaved head. He's very buff. Young guy. Tan. He just looks, you know, kind of just Bruce Willis-like. And he's got the most awesome pickup truck. I don't even know what it is. But whatever it is, when he turns it on, it sounds like a jet engine. It's a huge white thing. And he builds elevators. And he looks like a guy, you know, just looks like an action figure. That's what he looks like, an action figure. And he's got this pickup truck, and it says on it, "powered by Allison." And it's a Duramax Super 492 turbocharged Ford pickup eating thing, because it's like a GM or something. And I have a Ford. And so I always feel kind of intimidated when I go by his truck. It's like, man, there's that guy with the truck. Come on, little Ford. You can do it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Our Royal Route to Heaven. It's a look at some of Paul's opening remarks in this first letter to the Corinthians. It's also a great lesson in the kind of grace that comes from above. Again, the title, Our Royal Route to Heaven. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we aired Pastor Jack's What Christians Believe series. We aired it right here on Real Radio, and there was a huge response, quite frankly. That's why we're still making available the entire series for you on one MP3 CD. And our offer still stands. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD. It's a great series, and you probably shouldn't miss out on this. That's Pastor Jack's complete audio series, What Christians Believe, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. All you got to do is go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the banner that says What Christians Believe, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to call us, we'd like to hear from you, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.